From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Pennsylvania State Supreme Court earlier this month struck down congressional district lines, saying they were in violation of the state's constitution. The court has ordered the state assembly to submit alternate maps by early February if the assembly fails to do so. Or if the state's Democratic governor does not approve of a submitted set of maps by February 8th, the court will itself create alternative district maps that they say will be fair. Although Pennsylvania voters are roughly equal in the numbers of Democrats and Republicans, the GOP controls a majority of House seats, and gerrymandered districts are seen as the main culprit for the tilt in representation. My guest is Micah Sims, Executive Director of Common Cause Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program, Micah.
Sonali, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. Your organization, Common Cause Pennsylvania, filed an amicus brief in the court case that was just decided. What exactly was it that the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court decided? They said that the lines as they were drawn were unconstitutional.
Correct. So this case originally started in what we have as Commonwealth Court, which is our lowest level of state appellate court, where these 18 plaintiffs ended up filing a case against the Republican legislature, indicating that what the legislature had actually done was drawn maps that were unfairly drawn and was a which we now know as the term gerrymandering. The Commonwealth Court heard evidentiary procedures in reference to that, and then referred it to the Supreme Court for an ultimate ruling. So the Pennsylvania Supreme Court on Monday, this past Monday, ruled that those maps were unconstitutional. Gave a decision to the legislature here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that they have until February 9th to redraw those maps, those congressional maps. And then the process here in the Commonwealth is that currently the legislature passes the maps and then the governor signs off on them. So in this case of decision, the legislature again would have to redraw the lines, and then our governor would have the obligation, the right to sign or not to sign the maps that are presented to them from the legislature. If the governor does not sign the map, the decision indicates that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court shall then have jurisdiction and then shall move expeditiously to produce a map on their own.
And in this particular case, the governor being a Democrat, the legislature being controlled by Republicans, it's likely that the Republicans, if they were to submit another set of maps that was also partisan, would simply be vetoed by the governor. So how much of a difference will that make for Pennsylvania's primary elections that are coming up in May, if a fairer representation, if congressional district lines that are more fairly drawn are in place by May, what could that do to the political landscape in Pennsylvania?
So let me jump back to something you just recently said. One of the wonderful things about this decision from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is that they gave a timeline. They gave definitive dates by which they were asking each particular person, whether it was the state legislature or the governor, that they would have to act. And if they don't, then the Pennsylvania Supreme Court will do what they need to do. And no matter what happens, we will have new maps by February 19th. Now, Sonali, that's critical because what that does is that allows this Commonwealth to still proceed with its currently scheduled primary election date of May 15th. There was a little bit of trepidation in a number of camps and in a number of people that maybe this ruling may delay the primary. However, the Supreme Court obviously took that in consideration, and we are on track to have those new maps by May 15th. And so what that actually does, Sonali, is that's going to do a couple of things. That obviously throws a lot of congressional candidates into a little bit of a tailspin, because now if these congressional districts are adjusted or redrawn in such a manner, they now have to begin to really solicit the support, maybe in some new areas. And so that's one thing. The candidates are going to be impacted. But for me, of greater impact and of greater value is the fact that for the first time in this decade, citizens of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania will be able to vote using constitutional congressional maps. So since 2011, 2012, 2014, and 2016, we basically have been diminishing the voice and the vote of citizens of Pennsylvania because their vote hasn't been really represented well or represented at all in Washington, D.C. So for us, it's a really bit of excitement that finally the voice of the people will finally be heard in selecting their representatives. Because for each of those elections, and this is one of the reasons why I think the Supreme Court ruled in favor of eliminating those maps, every single election ended up with a 13-5 split. 13 Republicans were elected, 5 Democrats, every single time. And so there could be no greater evidence that this was a gerrymander, probably a very extreme case of gerrymandering. And so maybe for the first time, the voters will be able to decide their representatives and not have the representatives decide their voters.
Right, because there, as I mentioned, there's sort of roughly equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats. Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump, for example, in the 2016 election by just a 1.5% of the vote, or some number that was very, very small. So one might imagine that the numbers of representatives, House representatives from Pennsylvania, would be roughly equal from both parties, but it has remained sort of in one particular skewed ratio for a long time. One of the people who is likely facing a loss is Patrick Meehan, who is the representative of District 7, one of the most gerrymandered districts in the country. He happens to coincidentally be under fire for sexually harassing one of his aides in an unrelated note. But it's likely that that seat certainly will go to someone else. Could be another Republican, but also could be a Democrat, right?
Well, yeah, so let me say a couple of things you mentioned. Number one, statistically, since 2012, the Democratic Party has had at least a 800,000 voter registration advantage over the Republicans.
Oh, wow. So more Democrats than Republicans.
So more Democrats are actually registered in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania than Republicans, basically since the 2011 maps have been created. So again, giving evidence that this was really an extreme partisan gerrymander. In reference to Congressional District 7, which is known in the gerrymandering and the fair districts world as Goofy Kicking Donald, because the the district kind of looks like Goofy and kicking Donald Duck a little bit. It is probably, as you have just stated, one of the most gerrymandered districts in the country. And I would imagine that if this legislature comes back with a map that leaves that district intact, I would be shocked if Governor Wolf signed off on that map. So I would imagine that that will at least be one district that will get a lot of adjustment, hopefully, when we see the new congressional maps.
So what impact could this have nationally? Because we know that the United States Supreme Court is also considering this whole issue of partisan gerrymandering. You know, the Republican Party has made a very open effort through their redistricting project to take more, to take more districts on a federal level through this sort of redistricting effort. And there are other states at stake as well, Maryland, North Carolina. Could the Supreme Court, first of all, have any impact on Pennsylvania's Supreme Court decision? And or could the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision have any impact on other states?
So this Supreme Court ruling, Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling, we already know, and as of Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, the Republicans, who were the defendants in this case, were going to file an actual stay. And interestingly enough, because of process, they had to file that, ask for a stay at the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Most legal analysts predict that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court will not produce a stay on a ruling they just made. But what that does do is that gives the Republican defendants an opportunity to then file for a stay in the United States Supreme Court, which, again, most legal experts have weighed in and said they do not anticipate the United States Supreme Court upholding that stay, because this was always, and this case has always been, a state matter. It was raised in the state's Commonwealth Court. It was ruled on by the state Supreme Court. It particularly addressed state constitutional law. And so I don't see the Supreme Court weighing in directly on this case. Where this case does help the overall conversation about gerrymandering is when you look at the Maryland case, when you look at the Wisconsin case, when you consider the North Carolina case, which Common Cause is very much involved in the Rucho case. I do think what we are hoping to see, what a lot of people are hoping to see, those of us who are really about reform and particularly eradicating and ending gerrymandering, we're hopeful that the United States Supreme Court through these cases will begin to apply some standards. There's a lot of conversation, a lot of question, and a lot of gray. I'm not an attorney, but there seems to be a lot of gray conversation about what is compactness, what is contiguity, how does this impact the Voting Rights Act. So there are a number of things that always play into what particularly the standards are when you are putting these maps, these legislative maps together and across the country. So hopefully this type of ruling will encourage the United States Supreme Court to really take a look at what's happening across our country. Notice that there has been some gerrymandering efforts are real. They have been validated, they have been tested, and the results are there. And a number of election results over 2 and 3 and 4 cycles, and that it's time maybe that we have some standards by which we can apply it so that we will never have to deal with this, you know, extreme partisan gerrymandering anymore. One of the things that Common Cause is doing, and particularly we're doing here in Pennsylvania, is that we work with a coalition of other good government groups and some wonderful grassroots people that really believe that this conversation about ending gerrymandering can end when you are putting in independent redistricting commissions, allowing everyday citizens who are nonpartisan, who are not part of the political grab, whether you're Democratic or Republican, but just ordinary everyday people, drawing the lines so that they are fair and that they are competitive and that they are nonpartisan.
Mike, I'll give out a website for Common Cause.
Common Cause, you can find Common Cause at www.commoncause.org. If you're particularly interested in the work that we're doing here in Pennsylvania, you can go to commoncause.org/PA.
And we'll post a link to that from our website later today. Micah, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Micah Sims is the Executive Director of Common Cause Pennsylvania. We've been discussing the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court's decision on gerrymandered districts. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.